would ask you to open your Bibles to John 14, please. While you're turning, let me say that early in the week, I had a great deal of confidence that God would be taking us back to the third chapter of John again this morning to continue looking at Jesus' conversation with that man Nicodemus about his need to be born again, his need to be born into the kingdom of God, his need to have the Spirit of God touch him in his deadness and make him alive unto God. But as the week wore on, it seems that God had my heart and my mind occupied with some other things, and I couldn't find any peace in getting back to our passage there in John chapter 3. So much so was my heart and my mind occupied with these other things, and I don't mean things that are not important. I don't mean to think, have you think that I was just wandering around here and there thinking about this, that, and the other. My heart, my mind has been upon the Lord, upon His Word, upon the things of God, His will, His purpose. But so occupied with some of those things that, like I said, I couldn't get back to John 3, and when I did try to, had no peace about continuing there this morning. If God wills, we'll come back, yes. But the Lord has several times the past few days brought my heart and my mind and my thoughts back to a couple of verses here in John chapter 14 that I did read earlier in the week that really spoke to my heart. I can remember it was early in the morning. I often go in as soon as the coffee is ready. I sit down in my recliner and read some things that the Lord has used to bless my soul with day by day by day, and then open the Scripture and read the Scripture. And this was the portion that I read that morning, and I can recall it meant so much to me that when Donna came out of the bedroom and walked in where I was, I had her sit down, and I shared this with her. And I believe that God would have me to share it with you this morning. This is all that God has put upon my heart. And I haven't prepared a message from this passage of Scripture, but I believe God has a message for us. And I believe if we'll listen, if we'll turn our heart toward Him, there'll be some instruction here that will be meaningful, be profitable, and a blessing to all of us. I want you to look with me at verses 13 and 14 of John chapter 14, would you? Listen to these two verses. May God enable us to take to heart, understand, and realize exactly what Jesus is saying, what it was that He was seeking to teach His disciples on the day that He spoke these words to them, and may what He spoke to them ring just as powerfully in our hearts, if not even more so, because of the presence of His Spirit who actually indwells us as believers to teach us and to make these things clearer to us than they were perhaps even to them when Jesus spoke to them. May God make it so today. Two very precious verses. Verses 13 and 14 of John 14. And whatsoever, whatever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did you hear that? Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son, in His Son. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that God, My Father, your Father, my Father, would be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I believe we need to pray again and just ask God to speak to us, to clarify for us some words here of the Lord Jesus that are spoken in so many other places, very much the same as they are here. The words that I must be honest, and I suspect that if you are honest, at least with your own heart, you'll have to admit as well, words like this at times are very perplexing to us. Aren't they? Didn't he say, whatever you ask, I'll do? How can that be? How can that be? Well, it can be. It can be. You know why I know it can be? Because he said it. Because he said it. He cannot lie. He cannot be unfaithful to what he said. This is the word of He who is God of very God, the Lord Jesus. Bow with me as we pray and ask God to make this clear to us, would you? Our Father, we humbly, by your grace, bow in your presence. And Father, we confess to you that so often we'll read a word like this, and yes, our hearts grow excited about it, and we are filled with joy over what we read, and yet later, Lord, we find ourselves questioning, doubting, wondering, how can it be? How can it be? Oh, Father, teach us today. Open the eyes of our understanding. Grant us great grace. Holy Spirit, as you indwell us, now be our teacher, our resident teacher, one who dwells within our hearts to instruct us and to make the things that Christ said real to us. The word that he spoke, make it a living and powerful word in our hearts. God, help us. We need you. Meet with us now. Grant your grace and your mercy. Enable us to see and to understand, I pray, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. I remember as I was reading through John chapter 14 a few mornings ago. I never read this passage of Scripture without being reminded of my grandma, my dad's mother. I can't tell you how many times when I probably, I was probably younger, 2 or 3 years than Lily, Isabel. But I can still remember that far back. I know some of you may have a hard time realizing that I might be able to remember that far back. But there are a few things I remember. One of the things I remember is sitting on my grandma Walker's lap and being rocked as a little one by her. You know, I remember some of the songs she would sing. Some of them songs that would honor and glorify the Lord. Some of them just silly little tunes that made me laugh, made me full of joy. But much more than that, I can't tell you how many times as I sat on her lap being rocked by her, she'd begin with about John chapter 13, and she would word for word quote all the way through, many times through John chapter 17, time and again. Some of the verses that I remember the most were found here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Can't tell you how many times it's been a comfort to me to know that the trouble of my heart can be stilled, can be quieted, that I can rest, that I can find peace. And much of the reason being because of the things that Jesus spoke in this portion of the Scripture. Later there in John chapter 16, the last verse of John chapter 16, I mentioned at the close of the first hour this morning where Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, we need to be able to take to heart all that our Savior said. Not just here, but anywhere and any time He said it. What a precious portion of Scripture this is, and what a blessing is found for God's people in these two verses I just read. Listen to them again, would you? And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I remember sitting there the other morning, and when I came to those verses, the thought hit me. Oh, what Jesus said there is meat and bread for the hungry soul. I needed it. I needed it. I sat there and I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought, my, what Jesus said right there, that's honey. Honey out of the carcass of the lion. What a blessing it came to be to me as I reflected upon it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God Himself speaking to folks like us and saying, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Whatever you ask, I'll do it. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Why would He do such a thing? Well, obviously the foremost reason why He would ever do it is the reason He gave us right there, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. You can rest assured, if you're asking for something that will not honor and glorify God, then what Jesus said here does not apply in your case. The Father's got to be glorified. God's got to be honored. It's got to be something that will exalt who He is and what He does in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but how sweet. How sweet is a passage like this? How precious is a word like this when spoken to our hearts and we understand it? Honey. Honey. Out of the carcass of a lion. The psalmist referred to the word of God that was spoken to him in Psalm 19 when he referred to it in so many different ways, and he said of the word, more to be desired is the word of God than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Oh, that God would make this portion of His word that to you and I this morning. That it would truly be honey to us, pleasant to us, something to fill our hearts with joy. That it would be bread and meat for our hungry soul, that we might be able to feed upon this and be nourished by this and gain from what Jesus said in these two verses. What He said here is not unlike what He said so many other times. Just a little bit later here in the Gospel of John chapter 15, if you'd look at verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Can you imagine that? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Oh, but that little word if is a big word, isn't it? It's a big word. It's just got two letters in it.
But it's a big word. If we abide in Him. If we abide in Him. Look at verse 16. Where Jesus said to His disciples, "You've not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Now then, how did He choose us? How did God the Father choose us? Where did He choose us? Where does He see us? Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1? Chosen where? In Christ. In Christ. Chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And so when you read the Lord Jesus saying, "You didn't choose Me, but I chose you," He's not talking about a choice that was made any different than the choice that the Father made from before the foundation of the world. It's all a part of the same choice, isn't it? Chosen in Christ. Jesus said, "You've not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Now listen. "And that whatever you shall ask the Father in My name, He may give it to you." He'll give it to you. What an amazing thing. We could turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 11. Or we could go back to Matthew chapter 7. Where we find the same words of the Lord Jesus. Where He said, "Ask and it'll be given unto you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive. And everyone that seeks, finds. And to everyone that knocks, the door's opened." Precious promises from Him. Remember what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 5? James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not." He doesn't chide us. He doesn't scold us. When we ask for wisdom from above, He grants it. Oh, but what did He go on to say? "But let him ask in faith." Let him ask in faith. No doubting. "For the man that doubts is like a man who's tossed about on the waves of the sea. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Got to believe. Got to trust. Oh, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, would you? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. Listen here to the Apostle John as he just reemphasizes what the Lord Jesus taught he and the other disciples, the other apostles. And records it here to these that he's writing to here in 1 John. In verse 22 of 1 John 3 he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments." Oh, don't just listen to the first part of that verse. Without failing to take consideration to what he said next. "Whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight." You hear what he's saying? Look at chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 of 1 John. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." In who? In ourselves? In our parents? In our preacher? Our pastor? In Him. "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." What was it the psalmist said there in Psalm 18 that we read earlier? "I love Thee, O Lord." What was it he said in verse 6? "In my distress, I cried out to my God and He heard me." He heard me. Why would He hear me? Well, John says this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. And then I'm reminded of one of my very favorite words from the Lord Jesus found in Mark chapter 11. Where he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. Now come back to John 14 with me for just a few minutes, would you? It will not be much longer. Very important that we see what Jesus is really saying here, because it applies to every one of those other passages that we just talked about. I said that in these two verses, there is meat for the hungry soul. There's something to sink your teeth into here. There's something that will nourish your soul. There's something that will feed you. There was something that will be meaningful and profitable to you. To know that Jesus said, if we ask Him in His name, whatever it is, He'll do it. Now I said that's bread for the hungry soul. That's meat for the hungry soul. But the meat that is found there, that which is such a blessing, is like meat between two slices of bread. It's like a sandwich. Both those slices of bread come from the same loaf. And He is that loaf. The promise, you see, of all that we ask being answered and given us is wrapped up in who He is. Did you see that in these verses? Not who I am. Not what I've done or what I ever will do. Whatever you shall ask, I would encourage you, underline in your Bible those next three words, because they're much more important than what you ask. Whatever you ask in My name, I'll do it. That the Father may be glorified, not in you, but in the One in whose name you're asking. He says it again in the next verse. If you shall ask anything, underline those next three words boldly, in My name, I will do it. What does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? What is that? Is that just a few words that we tack on to every prayer as if it's some kind of magical formula that God has got to respond to? No, it's not that. Praying in Jesus' name is in all reality literally being in Him, praying in Christ. Never separated, never divorced from Him, never alienated from Him. In Christ. That's what He meant over here when He said, if you abide in Me, you got to stay in Me, you got to be in Me. That's what gets God's attention. That's what God causes God to hear. How did Jesus begin this 14th chapter of John? How did He begin? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Believe in Me. Now that means more than just trusting in Him. That means my very act of believing is something that cannot be apart from being in Him. That's the only real faith there is. Any other kind of faith is spurious faith. Any other kind of faith that is not faith in Him is falling short of that faith which pleases God. As Paul said there in Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please Him. This is the faith that the child of God lives by, prays in. It's faith not only in the Son of God, it is the very faith of the Son of God. You see why Jesus could make the statements He made here in other places? If you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. In His name. Believing in Him. That's what He meant there in Mark 11. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. and you shall have. Believe. Trust in Him. Live by the faith of the Son of God. Depend upon His faith to be honored by the Father, not yours. His faith. And John said, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Asking according to His will, how do we know His will? We don't always, do we? But who does? Christ does. Christ does. Praying in Him who knows the will of God and has never, ever prayed anything that was not according to the will of God. That's why the Father hears. You remember what Jesus said back here in John chapter 11 when He was with Martha and Mary and the others there at the tomb of Lazarus? Listen to what He says in verse 41 and 42. The last part of verse 41. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You've heard Me. Look at the next verse. And I knew that Thou hearest Me always. Always. Now I want to tell you something, folks. There are times, to my shame, that I must admit that I know when I pray God doesn't hear me. Because my prayers are selfish. My prayers are centered around me or you and not Him. But I want to tell you something that's just as sure as that. There has never been a prayer prayed by the Lord Jesus that His Father did not hear. Always according to the will of the Father. That's why John could say, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. In Him. In Him. Oh, but there is on the other side of this meat that we're looking at, one piece of bread being believing in Him. The other is found in the verse following, verse 16, or verse 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments. That's the other slice of bread. One is the faith of the Son of God. The other is the perfect obedience of the Son of God. Can you keep His commandments? Have you ever faithfully, perfectly kept the commandments of the Lord? We all fall short of that, don't we? Always will. But Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. Always obedient. Perfectly obedient. Nothing that God ever commanded did He not obey explicitly, perfectly, and wholly. And if we are going to obey God, there's only one way to do it. That's in Christ. His obedience. His righteousness. And that's what righteousness is. Righteousness is perfect obedience to the will of God. Perfect obedience to the will of God. And if I'm going to have any of that perfect obedience to the will of God, it'll be because God, by His grace, through Christ, has put it to my account. Imputed it to me. And that's my obedience. When I pray, and have any hope of God hearing and answering, it'll be because of Christ and Him alone. Him alone. Trust in Him. Well, we're going to wrap this up. But getting back to the words of the Lord Jesus in His conversation with Nicodemus, one of the things that Jesus meant But he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. For unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know what he was in all reality saying there? You don't have any hope of God even hearing you without Christ. Without Christ. He is everything. Must be everything. All of his precious promise is truly a promise from him. Truly a promise from him. Hear it again. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Only one way to pray in his name is there. That's to be in him. That's to be regenerated. That's to be made alive unto God. That's to have been united to Christ by the Spirit of God in regeneration. Praying in his name, whatever you shall ask in my name, that I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's not our time to be glorified. That day's coming. That day's coming. Glorification will be a reality for us, but our time has not yet come. But his has. And if we ask anything in his name, he'll do it that he may be glorified. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever we ask in his name, he'll do. Oh, I pray that when we pray from this point on, that we'll never do so without the realization that the promise is a blessing. That it only applies when it's put between those two slices of bread. The faith of the Son of God and the righteousness of the Son of God. That's why God hears our prayers. Not because of us, but because of him. May God make that real to us. Let's pray. Our Father,